I tensed as Dolph, Finley, and I coasted past the section between the barracks and the city, thinking not so much about Requiem, but about the tentacle monster that had dropped out of sight. As we neared the beach, Bella was already running across the sand towards us.
Bella!
I hid when I heard Requiem coming. When I saw him head into the barracks, I thought you would be killed.
Bella wrapped her arms around me, not noticing the hooks that were still buried in my side.
Oh.
Not so tight, Bella.
Mother Goddess, what happened?
You don't like it? I could start a new rage, piercing every available piece of my body.
Your Majesty.
Belladonna bowed to Finley. Damn, she really was good at this ambassador thing. Behind us, the deep was quickly swallowed up into a fog I had never seen from inside the city.
I see your mother in your eyes.
If the two of you are going to continue in our company, I have to know. Why did you send Ash to the cells? He was one of your own.
I know. He was supposed to be my friend, my mentor. But he's not. He's a liar. My father sent Ash to make sure we were both finished off.
Oh, the note. That's what happened, isn't it? I told him to show it to you. The fool was afraid to tell you.
What? How do you know about the note?
Ash intercepted a note meant for Eel.
The Undine who stuck the hooks in me.
Yes.
The note was meant for him? I don't understand.
We don't know who it was from, but it was going to Eel. Eel was the one who was supposed to drown the flowers, not Ash.
Mother Goddess, have mercy.
There is nothing to be done for it now. It was a mistake. One we can't undo, no matter how unfortunate.
A mistake? Ash's life is on the line, and you call it a mistake?
Well, it wasn't done on purpose. We couldn't know. And he wouldn't tell us the truth.
That is not the worst of it. Princess Finley, please tell them what happens on the day of coronation.
On the day of the coronation, blood must be spilled into the water as an offering to the deep. For protection, for health, for sustenance. The blood must be that of an enemy of the crown. Someone from the cells. A Terraling would make a perfect sacrifice.
I started to move forward, but the hooks made it agony. How do I get these hooks out of me?
You have to stay still. The more you wiggle, the deeper the barbs will dive. That is how they are designed. I can get them out for you.
Finley pulled a small first aid kit from the bottom of the boat and found a minuscule needle-nose tool.
Here we go.
It took everything I had not to move while Finley worked out the barbs as carefully as she could. But the pain was excruciating. And each time my body shook or twitched in pain as she removed a barb, the others dug into my flesh even more. Belladonna reached over and stroked my hair, untangling the knots and braiding it gently.
Shh. It'll be over soon.
You haven't done this since we were children.
You're my little sister. I can braid your hair if I want to.
Now I wasn't sure whether my eyes welled up with pain or emotion. Salt water washed over my legs where the princess had plucked out most of the barbs, stinging and cleansing the wounds at the same time. I fought the urge to yank my legs away.
How many are left, Finley?
Two. They will be the bad ones.
The others weren't bad?
These two are deep. One is buried in your armpit, the other in the back of your calf. There is no way I can work them to the surface. I will have to yank them.
Don't tell me when. Just do it. I closed my eyes. The feel of the cool metal under my arm made my heart rate skyrocket as she set her tool next to the tip of the first barb. Belladonna stroked my face. I opened my eyes to see what was taking so long when Finley yanked the first hook. A blaze of fire raced from the wound straight to my spine.
Hush, 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 hush. It's almost over. Just breathe.
Why do they hurt so bad?
These are not regular barbs. When they are created, they are imbued with pain.
They are designed to make the one they hook into a useless ball of screaming flesh. That you have managed thus far speaks of your fortitude and high pain threshold. I have seen Enders with two hooks in them laid out on the floor, sobbing.
You had 16 driven into you. I don't doubt Eel was afraid you were a chosen one of the Mother Goddess to see you still standing.
Shh. You have to keep it down, Lark.
We are in the middle of the ocean. Why does it matter if I'm quiet?
Because we are being followed.
Under the water, Requiem has sent his enforcers after us.
You mean the sharks again?
Yes, but we are not without our own familiars.
Dolph leaned over the edge of the boat and dipped his fingers into the water. Blue streaks of light shot from his hands into the water in a pulse.
We will have some help, but it may not get here in time.
Drink this. It will numb the pain and slow the blood leaching from your wounds.
Finley handed me a small vial. Without questioning her, I drank it down. The liquid was sweet and thick, like syrup. It made my tongue a bit numb. But within seconds, my screaming nerve endings quieted, and I could think clearly again.
You just always happen to have a healing potion with you?
Yes. There are far too many dangers not to carry a tonic with us at all times. Every kit we have has at least one healing potion. Most have two or three.
Bella, can you reach the earth? There's sand below us.
It's too far away. Why, can you?
Dolph reached across and gripped both sides of the boat, using his body to offset the rocking.
This is going to be close. My familiar can help, but she's been kept at bay by the sharks.
How many sharks can your familiar take out?
Two, maybe three before she's killed.
And how many of Requiem's pets are out there?
Six, maybe seven from what I sense.
I was glad that I had taken the spear from the barracks, though I'd expected to use it against a different enemy.
Bella, tell Father I did what I was supposed to.
Wait, you can't go in the water!
Lark is right. We are Enders, and your lives come before ours. Lark, these are bull sharks. They're aggressive and fast.
Awesome.
Dive deep. They're focused on the boat, so they probably won't follow us. If they come at you, aim for the eyes, and if you can get under them...
I'll open them up like an overripe fruit.
Lark.
You may need to fight if Dolph and I don't come back. Use your power. Use everything you've got. Do you understand?
No one has ever asked me to fight before. Is it allowed?
You have to, or you won't survive.
Finley, her face solemn, placed her hand over her heart.
Then I shall.
We must hurry, Locke.
I kicked hard to get as deep as I could, as fast as I could, to get past the sharks and down to Dolph before my lungs started burning. When I caught up to Dolph, he looked at my ear with a puzzled expression and touched the hook that Naya had jammed through it. His eyes widened in surprise, and he mouthed one word. Breathe. Every instinct I had screamed at me to keep my mouth shut, and the air in my lungs where it belonged. But I sucked in a mouthful of water, and it didn't choke me. Dolph pointed above us to where eight sharks swayed lazily around the boat. Eight 10-foot-long sharks with bad attitudes and insatiable appetites. Dolph and I swam towards them. And I thought for just a moment that this was going to be easy. I swam under the first shark and sliced upward with my spear, arcing from the tip of its tail to the base of its mouth, cutting through the soft underbelly. Blood and guts poured into the water as the shark rolled, flailing as it died. Its black eyes went dull, and the gray body dropped like a stone. The water was muddied by the blood, and I didn't think about one simple factor. Feeding frenzy. The blood set off the rest of the sharks, and they went wild, darting through the pinkish water, grabbing at the bits and pieces of their buddy. I swam backward, bumping into something hard and pointed. I was lifted up, like a dancer arced backward over her partner's head, as the shark opened its mouth, trying to get its teeth into me. I rolled over its head and down its back, diamond rough skin tearing at me, which added more blood to the water. I grabbed its tail and drove my spear forward into the shark's spinal cord. Then I swam hard, trying to get to clearer water. Before I could figure out where I was, a maw of teeth clenched my left calf. A thousand razor-sharp blades cutting into me as the shark dragged me away from the others. But I realized the shark was not bearing down. He was holding me, yes. Hurting me, yes. But biting my leg off, he was not. I swung my spear around and held it in front of his eye. The grip on my leg increased. Worm shit and green sticks. I couldn't kill him or he'd snap my leg off. Then the shark's eyes slid from black to a shimmering violet. And I realized, these sharks were not familiars any more than I was. They were shapeshifters. As the water started to clear, I counted only 5 sharks left. Dolph must have taken out one of the others. But then I saw he was being held by one of the sharks, the same as me. We were done for. Suddenly, the mouth of the shark holding me popped open, releasing me. And the shark swam away fast as it could, as if fleeing. Dolph was also spit out. Mother Goddess, what was coming now that scared the sharks away? A black and white body, 20 feet long, cut through the water past me and clamped down on the shark with 6-inch teeth. The orca thrashed its head, tearing through the shark as if it were nothing. The eyes on the shapeshifter dulled to black as it floated to the bottom of the ocean. The remainder of the sharks swarmed to the orca, attacking in pack formation, taking chunks out of her side. The orca's beautiful bright white hide was ripped into, her belly spilling into the ocean. The sharks dove into her body cavity, pulling pieces out while she still lived. I shuddered, grief racking me for the creature who had traded her life for ours. Then I looked to Dolph. Losing a familiar was supposed to be as painful as losing one of your own limbs. And Dolph thrashed as if the blows to the orca were blows to his own body. The orca had bought us time, but would we be able to get away before the sharks were done with it? Would its sacrifice be in vain? Then, from the depths, a smooth current flowed up and around us. Tentacles shot upward, grabbing one of the still attacking sharks. Sucker cups rounded the bull shark, one tentacle on the front half of its body, one on the back half. What looked like a gentle, casual pull ripped the shark in half. The remaining sharks fled, and we were left facing the giant squid on our own. Dolph swam towards me, and even in the water, I could see how pale he was. How much blood he'd lost, not to mention the loss of his familiar. But his expression was one of relief. Maybe after all of this, he was simply relieved for it all to be over? A giant tentacle coiled around our bodies, wrapping us firmly. As its cold, fleshy suckers pressed against my skin, I had no way of reaching my spear or wriggling free. Dolph didn't even struggle at all. Perhaps he was just too exhausted and delirious. Yet instead of ripping us apart, or squeezing the life out of us, or dragging us into the depths, the tentacle lifted us towards the surface. and gently deposited us into the boat before sliding back into the depths.
What happened?
You tell me. We were fighting the sharks, and the sharks were definitely winning. And then Dolph's familiar came and saved us, but the sharks tore it apart. And then that giant squid showed up, and the sharks buggered off. But it didn't kill us.
That was Olive. She's my familiar.
Your familiar is a giant squid.
The Kraken.
I'm not supposed to tell anyone, but you said we might need to fight to keep us safe. Did I help?
You did amazing. Thank you. You saved us.
Olive is lovely. I love her laugh.
As if hearing her name, Olive sent a tentacle tip up and over the edge of the boat. Finley stroked it gently.
Thank you, Olive. You saved us. You saved my friends.
Yes. Thank you, Olive.
I reached over to touch the tentacle tip as well. Olive gently squeezed my fingers before disappearing into the water once more. I suddenly realized that although I had coughed up a little water, I probably should have been vomiting up buckets as my body struggled to breathe the air again. Why am I not puking water?
The hook in your ear. It converts molecules in the water directly into breathable air. I guess you've never used it before.
I didn't even know it could do that.
Suddenly, the sky above us blackened with a speed I'd never seen.
What is that? What does it mean?
I believe it means that it isn't over yet. And I don't think Olive will be able to help us with this.
We had beaten Requiem in the water. Or rather, Finley and Olive had. But the sky? That was Requiem's to control. And we were about to taste what a powerhouse half-breed could do when he was irritated.
Requiem wants Finley dead. The rest of us are about to become collateral damage.
This is going to be bad. Hang on! Finley, can you help keep us upright?
The boat rocked hard to one side, as if on cue. I fought to find balance by shifting my weight to the opposite side. The wind all but picked our boat up, shoving it along the top of the waves. Belladonna fell to the side, slamming her head against the boat. Finley's face was pale, but her lips were set in a thin, determined line. And I wondered, if Requiem had this kind of power with air, why didn't he just steal the air from Finley's lungs? That was a sylph trick I knew all too well. It had killed my mother and brother, and almost killed me. And then I realized,
Requiem's not as strong with air as he wants us to believe. He has no finesse. Otherwise, he wouldn't be just pushing us back to the deep.
We quickly passed through the fog that surrounded the city and glided back to the eastern shore, where we'd begun. Requiem stood on the beach waiting for us, hands on his hips, three enders to either side of him. As we approached, he lifted a hand high over his head.
Welcome home, princess.
Finley stood tall in the boat, her tiny frame trembling with what I thought was fear. Nope. She had a hell of a lot more spunk than I gave her credit for.
Requiem, my people will never bow to you!
Dolph, how do we keep Requiem from killing Finley?
I don't think he will try to kill her yet. He'll wait till the coronation. What better blood to be spilled than that of the princess to seal his crown?
Oh, great. Bella, tell Requiem that you had nothing to do with this. That I forced you to come with us.
Lark.
It's your best chance of staying alive and out of the cells. You're supposed to do as I say when it comes to your safety. Now do it.
Okay.
Obediently, as soon as our boat landed on the beach, Belladonna climbed out and ran towards Requiem.
Oh, thank you, Requiem. Thank you for saving me from them.
Her tears were real. I knew that much. I'd heard crocodile tears from her too many times, not to recognize the real thing. But what exactly caused them, I wasn't sure. Neither was Requiem.
Either you are an exceptional actress, or you truly were afraid. I can't decide which it will be. So for now, I will keep you in my rooms until I decide.
Oh, no, you won't!
I leapt from the boat, and three Enders immediately rushed forward, circling me. I raised my spear, keeping them at bay. Requiem was an easy source of anger, which would make a perfect conduit for me to call on the sand below us.
Please, give me some credit.
Requiem flicked his hand, and waves rushed forward, rising up and engulfing me. I held my breath, even though the earring would allow me to breathe. Vertigo lurched through me, and at first, I didn't understand what was happening. But then I realized I was high above the beach, but still looking through water. Requiem had sucked me into a giant waterspout. Below me, I could just make out Enders dragging Dolph away. And then Requiem dropping to his knee in front of Finley. Could Finley have somehow changed his mind and gotten his allegiance? How? But then I saw Finley cover her face in sobs. That seemed more like the Requiem I'd come to know. I could only hope whatever fate he had planned for Finley wasn't immediate. That somehow we could still save her. The water pressed in harder around me, forcing its way into my ears, nose, mouth, and under my closed eyelids until I thought they would pop. I could no longer see anything, but I could feel I was getting sucked down through the water. Then spun through it, as if I were in a tornado, and then yanked in several different directions. I was definitely moving someplace, but I had no control over it. Then the pressure was gone, and the water started to subside. Until I found myself on my knees, in water up to my chin. Relief flowed through me as I stood, the water resting just below my hip. I blinked several times. My eyes ached from the pressure, but I could at least see, though what I saw was hard for my brain to put together. I held a hand out and touched the surface in front of me. The four walls were thick glass, distorted and wavy. Little tiny fish swam between two panes, oblivious to the fact they were part of someone's cell. For all intents and purposes, I'd been placed inside a reverse aquarium. The glass was smooth under my hand, cool and slightly slimy. Overhead was a glass ceiling with slats, set 6 inches apart. For air, I guessed. Inside the tubular slats, the fish still swam, oblivious to the world around them. I looked all around me. On the other side of the thick aquarium walls were shadowy movements. Maybe other cellmates?
Hello?
Oh, a new one. How wonderful. What's going on up top, love? The cells are rather boring, I must say.
Someone pressed against the far right wall.
Who are you?
Oh, pardon me, my manners are slipping. I'm the ambassador from the pit. Name is Loam. Peter, go over and say hello for us.
Loam gave a blurry wave over his head as a gray and white house cat leapt to the ceiling above me and glared down.
I hate Terralings. Let us be clear about that.
I'm not particularly fond of cats. They think they're so damn smart, when really, they're just rude.
As you can see.
Peeta hopped onto one of the glass tubes in the ceiling, the fish scattering under her paws.
I am the only one able to move around. So perhaps you are the stupid one, dirt girl.
Cats and their know-it-all attitudes. This conversation was getting me nowhere. I resisted the very strong temptation to splash the bedraggled cat.
Is there another Terraling here? Ash!
I am not your messenger, dirt girl.
I'm not asking you to take messages. Only asking whether he is here or not.
The Terraling died last night, I think.
No! Not Ash!
Grief and shame. Complete horror rocked me. How could this have happened so fast? He wasn't injured when he was sent down. And it had been less than a day.
She's crying now. Why did you do that, Wolm? I hate crying. It irritates my ears.
How did I get stuck with you as a familiar? Ah, yes, that's right. No one else wanted a useless house cat. Remember that, Peter. No one wanted you.
Don't you dare call her useless. You hear me? I doubt she's as useless as you. Where were you when Requiem was taking over? Where were you when he was killing his father and threatening his sister?
But we aren't to interfere. There was nothing I could do.
That's a stupid rule, and we all know it. If you'd done something, anything, maybe you wouldn't be in this watery hole.
Peeta leapt from the ceiling and landed on my shoulder. Her claws dug in, breaking through the madness that gripped me and strangely calming me.
Quiet, dirt girl. Be quiet, for there are those in here we do not want to come to us.
You aren't useless. Don't you believe it for a second.
I know I'm not useless. I'm a cat. I'm perfect.
She wiped a paw over her face, and I brushed a hand along her coat, her fur sticky with salt water.
We need to find a way out. Who else do we have to work with us?
You think you can get us out of here? Child, for that is all you could be with a belief so foolish. There is no way out. This is an oubliette. We cannot reach our powers here.
A shadow moved behind the wall on the opposite side of me, and a hand splayed on the glass, palm pressed against it. The water reverberated into ripples, like a stone dropped into a pond.
How do you plan to do that exactly?
Ash? How? They said you died!
Barclay died last night. He was the one they spoke of. He was too old and had been here too long.
Ash, I'm sorry for putting you in here. For believing you were here to kill me.
You believed I could kill you.
Why in the name of the Mother Goddess didn't you tell me what was going on? Could you not have just shown me the note? Idiot!
I was trying to protect you.
How's that working out for you?
Shut up, cat. You aren't exactly winning familiar of the year, sitting in a tank of salt water with your ambassador.
It's a familiar's job to protect and aid, but we can't stop our masters from doing stupid things, like spilling your queen's secrets on your lover's breast.
Oh, you are the worst familiar in this whole wretched world. I hope you are fed to the fishes.
Peeta leapt from my shoulders up to the slats and stalked back to her master to give him a piece of her mind.
Ash, I think my father sent us here to be killed. You know that, don't you?
Ash dropped his head against the glass.
I feared it, which is why I came.
And when Bella saw the note you intercepted, she thought it was for you. We thought you were in league with my father. But Dolph explained it to us. I wish you'd just told me.
I spread my hands over the slick glass. And then it hit me. Glass is made up of sand. I'd been able to pull apart Requiem's sandstone door. Why should the glass be any different? But that would mean connecting to the earth. And I wasn't angry in the least. But maybe I could change that.
Loam? We're likely to die here, aren't we?
Peeta trotted to the ceiling above me once more, her green eyes flashing.
Well now, that's not very optimistic, is it?
Loam! Does your queen still have ties with Cassava? What are they plotting?
You don't think he's actually going to tell you, do you?
Loam?
Terrifying. Why would I tell you, My queen trusts me.
Obviously, that didn't go so well.
Yeah, I hate Terrilings.
Was I getting bored? Yes. Angry? No.
Ash, I need you to make me angry.
What? Why?
Can you just do it? Can you say things to make me angry?
Why would I help you? You had me thrown in here like a common cur.
Ash, just do it, please.
Ridiculous. I was right not to trust you. Your father has the right idea. Kill off the ones who cause him the most trouble. You know, you and Belladonna, you're exactly the same. You both hide behind your mother's legacies.
For just a moment, I believed him. I grabbed hold of my connection to the Earth. I spread my hand over the glass in front of me, sliding the power through it, breaking down the glass to its simplest form. Sand. The wall fell in a shimmering cascade of sand into the water. Fish falling through the air like tiny wriggling stars, dropping from the heavens. I broke down a few more walls before my fury dissipated and the power slipped through my fingers. I could finally see Ash and Loam face to face. Peeta sniffed disapprovingly from her perch on Loam's shoulder.
How did you do that? How is that possible?
Well, I'll be buggered rightly. This is a rather good turn of events, isn't it?
Until the guards see that some of their cells have disintegrated and decide to kill us outright.
Lark, how can you even connect with the Earth? There's a block on the cells. A block that maybe even your father might not be able to break. But you just walked through it like it was nothing.
I don't know. I just did it. Isn't that enough?
No. Because I cannot shift to my other form. Not to mention, you just opened us up to the Undines. We are at their mercy.
At least we have a chance now.
Except that you can't touch your power without rage, can you? My first master was like you.
Lark, ignore the cat. She's just pissed because she isn't saving anyone. You are.
Oh. Oh dear.
The water was now waist deep.
Water is rising. This is bad.
I can't swim.
Of course you can't.
I don't know what to do, Loam.
Peeta leapt from Loam's shoulders to the edge of the cells I hadn't pulled apart. They might not like each other, but Peeta would still try to save him. Like me and Bella. Though I hoped that how we felt about each other was changing. I swam to Loam and grabbed him.
Oh!
I dragged him through the water to the cell edge where Peeta waited. Pushing with my shoulders, I boosted him to the top of the cells. He straddled two of them with ease.
Thank you. It's a pity. Queen Fionnetta was so looking forward to your trial. But I believe this will be better all the way around.
Then, with more water rushing in, and without walls to hold it, the floor of the cells gave way. The last thing I saw was the look of horror in Peeta's green eyes as she stared down at me.